you get my data, you get my data, and you get my data. Congress says not so much. And Web3 developers are telling AI, step aside, decentralize is back. And SolarWinds may be stepping up to the plate of accountability. All that and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the March 26th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. My name is Tony Francisco and this is my co-host, Mr. Phil Buck. Phil, how are you doing today? Wait, pause. For everyone who doesn't know, Phil runs this amazing show called, can you say it? It starts with an A.
AI Roundup.
It ends with an I. And talks about AI
Roundup. Probably ends with a D, but I guess we can go with that. No, it doesn't.
We're getting to our first argument here. AI Roundup. Love it. How are you doing, Phil? Talk to me.
Appreciate that. I'm doing great. Glad to be here. I've missed the show. You know, I used to produce and I was here with you guys every single episode. Now we have the wonderful super cousin Danny in the background. I'll be careful not to compliment him because I know what that does for the production of the show. Y'all see it in the B-roll every time. But yeah, I missed you guys and I'm glad to be back here for a little bit. And I'm trying not to feel like chopped liver because I'm pretty sure we went through Tom Lawrence, Jason Slagle, even Josh Hobien was all up. co-host and nobody could make it, so you got stuck with me, Tony. Sorry.
Oh, man. stop it. But you know what, it's kind of like someone say, hey, you know, Tony, you're dating a lot of girls, you know, and none of all kind of crazy, none of them worked out. You know what the common denominator to all that failure is? You. And I'm like, so in this case, the point I'm trying to make is everyone's avoiding it. I'm just too dumb. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm all in the show. I'm here about it just sharing the news, educating the community, and feeding my paranoia about ransomware exploitations, people not sticking to basic common frameworks in security, and frankly, what we can do to be better to each other. That's why I'm here.
That's why I love to be here. And that reminds me, we should get into the news.
Let's get into the news. Let's do it. In my first story from Engadget.com, House passes bill banning data brokers from selling personal info to adversary nations. The House of Representatives unanimously passed the Protecting Americans' Data from Foreign Adversaries Act to stop data brokers from selling Americans' personal information to countries deemed adversaries, such as Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. In line with President Joe Biden's recent executive order, the bill prohibits data brokers from selling sensitive data, including geolocation, financial, health, and biometric information to entities in adversary countries. This bipartisan effort seeks to regulate the largely unchecked data brokerage industry, addressing concerns that geopolitical rivals, notably China, have already obtained significant amounts of Americans' data. Additionally, the bill complements prior legislation targeting TikTok, emphasizing the importance of protecting national security and individual privacy from foreign influence in the digital space. Phil, this is where I use the term when hypocrisy is boundless. And do you see how I've said so much without really saying not much? When hypocrisy is boundless, it makes one's it lifts the brow. It's like, are we saying that you can't have our data, but we can do whatever we want with our Americans' data? What are your thoughts on this? And am I overreacting? Am I overthinking this? Or am I absolutely spot on the money on this one?
I think you're pretty spot on the money. I mean, the number one thing I wanted to say about this is that at least this particular bill feels slightly less hypocritical than the TikTok ban, because I mean, y'all covered that in a previous episode, and it's just really funny because I think Ray even said, okay, so TikTok can't do it because of foreign ownership, but as long as it's Americans doing it, that's great. And now they've kind of like, you know, kept that rolling with this bill to say, well, not just TikTok, but really anybody outside of the US. The good old US of A, you guys keep brokering that data, sell, you know, all my medical conditions to the banner ads that are scrolling by when we read the articles. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's kind of like later this week, we have the Apple story we're going to cover. And it's like competition here is what we're okay with as long as it's in our little ecosystem, right? As long as it's not outside of our marketplace. What do you think? I mean, am I off there, or do you think this is the way it should be? Americans should be able to buy and sell that data and do whatever they want with it.
So there's some interesting ways of looking at this. And so for the real techies out there, the real propeller heads, the first thing that we look at is how can this be exploited? And there's this thing called lying by omission, which is essentially lying, but you're not actually stating the incorrect item. And in this particular case, what's not being said is, hey, we know that data brokerage cannot sell this data, but once this data is released to someone else that is not a data broker, they in turn can sell this. So does the broker become classified as a reseller, and that makes it acceptable? And how many of these cracks that allow this data to slip through equates to something monumental? My opinion, one crack. So this is where we, you know, kind of it time to abandon dignity and embrace the reality of the situation. What the fuck? You know, I know everyone's
I'm glad you touched on that point, though, because it's a common topic right now. What's going on with all these AI models is data laundering, right? They can take the data and they can find a way to disguise where they got it. And now it's fine. It's clean. You know, we washed it off. And does that just make this more of a practice? Does this actually lead into, you know, cyber criminal activity? Because now it's like, oh, well, I can get all this data from someone and go sell it, you know, on the black market, you know, like I know I'm stretching here, but I mean,
you're not, though, because inversely, let's look at this the other way. Inversely, we can add metadata to something to make it not what it originally was. By definition, that is what these new generative AI components are doing. They're adding data to see now. I'll need a minute now. I would love to hear everyone's thoughts on this, but at the end of the day, I think what we need to talk about is kind of the next generation as we sit in our own paranoia over here. Let's jump into what's next. Web3, everything's going to be better. Phil, passing it over to you.
And keeping with the theme of data, in a story from TechCrunch by Jacqueline Melanick, new Web3 network aims to challenge big tech's data control. A new Web3 network is being developed to challenge big tech's control over user data, addressing concerns of exploitation within the traditional web ecosystem, often referred to as Web 2.0. It is. I've never called it that, but okay, anyway. Tegan Klein, CEO of Edge and Node, advocates for decentralization, aiming to empower users by shifting away from centralized controls. Their support for the graph, known as the Google of Web3, enables access to open blockchain data, promoting a decentralized internet that is resistant to censorship. The graph's roadmap outlines plans to enhance data services, support developers, and enable large language models for AI, promoting a fully open source approach to data training. And while AI and blockchain integration is still evolving, Klein anticipates a shift as new business models and incentives emerge in a decentralized infrastructure. Okay, so Tony, after having read this article and I listened to the little TechCrunch podcast that comes with it, it sounds great when you just read the headline. But my question is, is this just another sales pitch for blockchain? Like, do you see anybody using Web3 in this way?
I don't have a well-crafted response, or I have not formulated an opinion about it as of yet, outside of my initial positioning statement. My initial positioning statement is that decentralized environments are wildly, wildly immature compared to what they could be. The concept of blockchain and everything else that we've talked about, we'll call it Bitcoin because we've heard of Bitcoin. It's an application. Bitcoin is the application that sits on top of a blockchain. It just so happens this blockchain was written by the people at Bitcoin. You can go find obscure blockchains. You can write your own blockchain with no application. It's just slots for holding data. And there's a structure, a data structure for that blockchain. And what happens is now you have an application that is now decentralized through this blockchain foundation. And what they're not really considering is authentication, user management, permission management, all of what I consider to be absolute core components of everything that we do all day. Then you have an application on top of it that sits and depends on authentication, permissions, and user management, et cetera. So I don't think we've gotten down to the guts of where blockchain is really going to be valuable. I think topically it's great. And we're looking at the ways that this could be played out. But when it comes to the combination of AI and blockchain, you got my attention. I just don't know where this is going to play out. So you and I could sit there and talk about this, and we have a whole, because you've got this AI, the whole AI roundup, the whole podcast that you run, which is absolutely incredible. And then, you know, I've got some experience in blockchain and I understand how it works. The combination fascinates me because now you're getting into that true conversation of when does chemistry become biology? And there's this, and what is considered self-awareness? What is considered life? What is the biological components, which is just a combination of chemicals? When does AI use blockchain in a way that allows AI itself to not only be the large language model that is distributed and not centralized, but the outcome of this particular result of AI is literally in the exact same place where the source is, which is everywhere. And that's what terrifies me. And just to really go into this, in I can't remember, the Avengers, is it Ultron. The concept was, that was the concept. He was literally everywhere. And that is my definition of a non-centralized, a decentralized AI component. That's, if we're jumping into what I was just talking about, that's what it would actually look like. And that is simultaneously amazing and terrifying to me. But maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I thought about this too much. Hold on. No more caffeine. I will not drink any more caffeine. I told you that. Okay. Sorry.
Well, okay. So you touched on a lot of things that I appreciate that you said. I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is this line from Klein. If you go to traditional AI conference, they do not care. I think the blockchain space is a little bit more interested in AI than AI is interested in the blockchain space. So for me, that was kind of the takeaway, is like, Klein is doing a great job of selling this. I mean, she's really, and to be fair, there's a wide range of feelings on crypto, NFTs, AI, they've all become these buzzwords that mean a lot of different things depending on how you use them. You know, if you're actually somebody in the guts of this stuff using it, and you're not just the person on the internet responding to, oh, you know, NFTs, apes, you know, I lost my apes. I mean, there's like a whole wide world, but in the gray area, I think if we're trying to keep it right in the center. This feels so immature, which is one of the things you were saying, is that it's just so far from reality right now. It's super interesting. I love the idea of the decentralized internet, especially as we're watching, as they call it, Web 2.0, which I love. I've never heard that before. I'm not going to use that either, but it is kind of dying at the hands of AI. You know, it's filling up with all this generative stuff. You know, to have a decentralized way to access data, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. I went to go try to use the graph, and it's beyond me. So it's a long way from any kind of real adoption by, you know, just the regular consumers. But people that are crypto experts, maybe this is something they start and they find the ways to make it adoptable. We'll see. I don't know. It's interesting, but it just feels like meh, at this point.
I just love the way it's just another name dropping, another expression, another cliche term. But I think they're so important. I think AI is that topical side. I think, you know, the operational underpinnings, the decentralization part is something we'll all depend on, kind of like the internet or IP addresses, which were just huge at one point. But you know what we should talk about? No matter what happens, there's accountability. We all have to understand there's accountability and we have to take it step by step. And I heard SolarWinds is stepping up to that plate of accountability. We should talk about it. And we're going to talk about it right now. My next story from channel-e-to-e.com by Ty Trumbull. SolarWinds has become the first company to submit a secure software development self-attestation, a crucial step in the U.S. government's effort to strengthen security of the software supply chain. Notably, SolarWinds suffered a significant software supply chain attack in December 2020, known as the SolarWinds Orion security breach, or Sunburst, where Russian hackers allegedly infiltrated SolarWinds software updates to distribute malware. Despite this, SolarWinds self-attestation meets the U.S. government standards set by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, that's CISA, and the Office of Management and Budget, that's OMB, making a significant advancement in cybersecurity protocols. Vice President of Government Affairs stresses the importance of public-private partnerships in tackling evolving cybersecurity threats. At the same time, Tim Brown, SolarWinds Chief Information Security Officer, emphasizes the company's commitment to pioneering secure software development and promoting innovation in cybersecurity standards. Phil, when I hear of a company being attacked, there's nothing about that that makes me happy. It's a horrible situation. If you've ever been there, I am so sorry for you. If you haven't been there, don't judge. Trust me, it's worse than you think. But when a company is making efforts to publicly continue to improve, tip of the hat to you, SolarWinds. That's my personal opinion, because it takes not only a lot of effort, but to do it publicly under an already what you would consider to be a self-imposed, but it wasn't, you were just attacked, spotlight, a negative spotlight. The spotlight is still there on you, and creating step-by-step public heel-toe evolutionary processes to move the needle for the betterment of the company. I feel like that's what we want everyone to do. But remember, when you do something privately, you're going to mess up. When you do something publicly, you're going to mess up. But they're actually making this an example of how a company should perform. What are your thoughts on this? Is this something that companies should move forward with in that same standard of, here are the steps we have been attacked, here are the steps that we're moving forward. If it involves a self-attestation in the public eye, under the framework that the government has applied, that to me is a huge step. I don't know about going that far, but I think it's the right way. What are your thoughts?
I appreciate that you would give a tip of the hat to SolarWinds, because my first reaction on reading this headline is like, did it have to be SolarWinds to be the first one to do this? Because I feel like, does that put a shadow on the whole process? Because they're, you know, as somebody who just watches MSP Dispatch a lot, they've kind of become synonymous with that breach, unfortunately. But on the other side, on the flip side of that coin, I'm kind of joking, I'm kind of not. But the other side of it is that, you know, is this strategic for them to be out front, to be the first one to do this, to really change their reputation in that way? Now there's headlines about SolarWinds that are good things, that are, you know, proof that they're taking the right actions and providing, you know, kind of an example for other people to follow. I think that both of those are true. And of course, I think that's a good thing. The other thing that's funny to me is that I did go check out the self-attestation process, and it's just a PDF form that you fill out. I'm wondering how much teeth does it have if a lazy software designer, or maybe just somebody at the company that is lazy, unfortunately, wanted to just, you know, it's the fourth year of my CISA self-attestation. I'm just going to check all these boxes because I don't have time to fill it out. Where does that leave us if it's a, you know, you have to trust that the person is being honest about this, you know?
So you brought up a very interesting point. So are you implying, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but are you possibly implying that the government could be making easy, because there's pros and cons to this, easy ways for somebody to check the box that there are subtle movements forward, even though it's kind of toothless in your saying.
I'm really asking the question, you know, like, especially someone as yourself that knows this from the inside, do you find that something like that has teeth? I mean, I have been in several industries. I've been in medical billing where to access the government Medicare website to look up patients' benefits and stuff like that, it is an intense process. I mean, you have to do identity background checks and all that stuff before you get access. So, I mean, I do believe they have the best interest at heart, but I also just looked at this process to understand it better. And I thought, this is not, I don't know if this is really going to, I mean, I'm looking at the worst side of it, I guess. I'm saying if somebody wanted to lie about this, they could. And that's probably really, really pessimistic. Maybe that's too pessimistic.
Phil, I think you're on to something. In fact, what I'd like to do is kind of open this up to the MSP audience right now. Please comment. Would you like, I'm just going to throw this question out there. I'm setting it up for the hit. Would you like, in the event of a ransomware attack, an exploit, a hack, would you like the government to give just calling it a softball, but just kind of an easy first step that may not have a lot of teeth, but is the first of what can be many steps to move forward in a public accountability perspective that you are taking these steps. And of course, it's going to take a while to recover from that. Or are you saying, this is all Fugazi. At the end of the day, this is all fake. I would love the input from the MSP audience. Hey, you know what? We have some other things to talk about. Specifically, notables. You want to do it?
Let's do it. And in a notable from Bleeping Computer by Sergio Gatlan, an exploit released for Fortinet RCE bug used in attacks. Security researchers have released a proof of concept exploit for a critical vulnerability in Fortinet's 40 client enterprise management server or EMS software, which is now actively exploited. Tracked as CVE-2023-48788, the flaw enables unauthenticated threat actors to execute unauthorized code or commands via specially crafted requests affecting 40 client EMS versions 7.0 and 7.2. The exploit shared by Horizon 3's attack team confirms system vulnerability but requires modification for remote code execution using Microsoft SQL Server's XP command shell procedure. This development follows Fortinet's recent patch release addressing their security flaw, which the company later acknowledged as being exploited in the wild. And in another notable from Dark Reading by Jai Vijayan, Ivanti keeps security teams scrambling with two more vulnerabilities. Ivanti, already under scrutiny due to recent attacks, has disclosed two critical vulnerabilities in its products, raising further concerns about their security. The first flaw, CVE-2023-41724, reported by researchers at the NATO Cybersecurity Center, allows remote code execution in the Ivanti standalone Sentry. The second, CVE-2023-46808, affects Ivanti neurons for IT service management and poses a similar risk. Ivanti has released updates to address these issues, but the steady stream of flaws and delayed responses have damaged its reputation and raised concerns about the safety of its products.
In my first notable mention from ArsTechnica.com, Intel receives $8.5 billion from the U.S. for expanding its high-end fab capacity. Intel will receive an $8.5 billion investment in direct funding and $11 billion in loans from U.S. government to enhance its high-end chip manufacturing capabilities, positioning itself as a key player alongside TSMC and Samsung. President Joe Biden will announce the package during his visits to Intel's Chandler, Arizona site, reflecting efforts to strengthen the economy and revitalize domestic manufacturing. This funding aims to boost job growth and secure the U.S. position in semiconductor manufacturing amid global competition, particularly with China. Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger believes that this investment is critical for advancing American semiconductor innovation, particularly in meeting the needs of artificial intelligence. In my next notable mention from Engadget.com, Reddit is now a publicly traded company. After 19 years, Reddit became a publicly traded company listed on the New York Stock Exchange under the RDDT ticker. In its initial public offering, the company aimed to raise $519.4 million by selling 15.3 million shares at $34 each. Additionally, stockholders intended to sell 6.7 million shares valued at $228.6 million. That's US. However, Reddit itself won't receive proceeds from the latter. The IPO values Reddit at nearly $6.5 billion. Furthermore, underwriters can now purchase 3.3 million shares at the IPO price within 30 days, potentially generating around $112.2 million for Reddit.
And And in our resource of the week, CyberWise employees how to stay safe online, presented by Finn Security. Discover the significance of security awareness training in our webinar, CyberWise employees how to stay safe online, hosted by Finn Security on March 26th and April 2nd at 2 p.m. Eastern. Learn about emerging trends and the importance of staying ahead of cyber threats. Gain insights into safeguarding yourself and your organization against cyber criminals, and use this opportunity to enhance your cybersecurity knowledge. Register now. The link is in the show notes.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, All Stars, presented by the Channel Program. And also tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Inside Ride a Boom 2024 highlights for MSPs from Field Effect. And then also on the 27th, an in-person event, MSP Rescue SoCal in Los Alamitos, California. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have on Wednesday another episode of AI Roundup at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then on the 29th, Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Community Live will be back, followed directly after at noon by Bits and Books for Episode 7, featuring the book The Pumpkin Plan for Managed Service Providers by Dave Kava and Sean P. Wash, who will be on the show.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't like it, make sure you hit it an odd number of times so we get the benefit of the, and you get the feeling, you know what I'm saying. But if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we actually have a Discord where we post these stories all week long? You can even propose your own stories. We're not going to cover the really bad ones, but the good ones we will cover. And you can even vote on which ones we are going to cover. As our friend Rich Banky says, make sure you tell a friend. And be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Do you have any questions? Email us news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or just call us. Leave a voicemail, 833-MSP-NETWORK. Phil, thank you so much for co-hosting today.
Thanks for having me.
AI Roundup. Your show is amazing. For everyone out there right now, you got to keep listening. Don't jump to AI Roundup just yet. The show's not over. We got Be Real after this, us messing up and doing all this stuff in the back. But when you're done, not yet, stay. When you're done, AI Roundup's the show you want to look. Your mind will just melt. Every time I watch this, I say, there cannot be something that's better, that he's got more that's better. Okay, we're continuing the evolutionary process. So why don't you go ahead and land this plane for us, Phil? Sign us off.
Well, thanks for the shout out to AI Roundup. We live in a weird time where, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and all this stuff that we're talking about on that show will have been, it's going to be settled and it's going to be a new world. And I'm looking forward to my next episode where I'm going to be talking about some images that have been taking the internet by storm. They say, what did they say? Beautiful cabin crew. And it's about all the flight crew people generated by Bing. They post them on these pages on Facebook and the boomers are eating them up, just posting amen, amen, amen in all the comments. So make sure you check that out. But yeah, if you really want the hard hitting stuff, you always got to come back to MSP Dispatch. So thanks for having me. I'm always happy to be here. And, you know, take us home, Tony.
With all the show, with all the AI stuff, I literally don't believe anything. I sometimes have to watch this show just to see if it's actually real. Is that actually me? I don't remember saying that part though. I think Phil, his AI stuff got in there and changed it, but it made me look better. Somebody.
It happens often. More than you would think.
Everyone, thank you so much for watching today. Please stay educated and be safe out there.
Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Ivanti, already under scrutiny due to recent attacks, has disclosed two critical vulnerabilities.
This funding aims to boost job growth and secure the U.S. position in cybersecurity. Fuck, one more time.